Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate and are thankful for you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for we attempt to speak only those things found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time and study on the program, certainly we would give those questions or those subjects a consideration. So let us know what they'd be by either contacting us by the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. Also on our website, there are numerous Bible articles, Bible subjects. You can hear these radio sermons that we are doing on the radio. You can hear the sermons that are being presented at the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Also, there is a Bible correspondence course, and you can take it at your own pace in the privacy of your own home. Every 2 weeks, the church emails a bulletin that contains Bible subjects, Bible articles. And if you would like to receive that bulletin in your home every 2 weeks on by email, there's a place on the website that you can give your email address. We will add it to the list, and every 2 weeks you will receive the email bulletin in your email. All of this is available, and it's found at www.eastalbertville.org. In our program yesterday, we started looking at the question of why is the Bible so hard to understand? And what we said is that the question would really be more accurately if it was restated. And that is, why are there some parts of the Bible hard to understand? Because we know it's certainly true that some of the Bible is difficult to understand. But that question, why is the Bible so hard to understand, is sort of like one of those trick questions that you get painted into the corner before you know it. You know, while it may be difficult for us to pinpoint who the number 666 is supposed to represent in Revelation 13:18, or who is the man of sin that is represented in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, aside that, much of the Bible is very easy to understand. Love your neighbor, forgive others, feed the poor, help the sick, take care of the widows and orphans, pray for your enemies. These are instructions that even the youngest among us can understand. What I want us to do in beginning in today's lesson is to look at some common reasons that people misunderstand the Bible. First of all, they don't read it. And I believe that's the primary reason that many people don't understand the Bible. It's just simply because they do not read it. Now, many people want to, and they make resolutions to read it. They buy and they read other books about it. They talk about reading it. They even start at the beginning maybe of each year, determined to make it through the Bible. But sadly, all of that resolve and talk seems to accomplish very little when it comes to just actually reading the Bible. And, you know, it's sort of ironic. People often complain that they do not read the Bible because it's difficult to understand. Of course, it will be somewhat difficult to understand if we do not read it. You know, any book that contains helpful information of whatever the nature, it's something that has to be read in order to be understood. And the writers of the Bible makes this point perfectly clear. Paul said that God had revealed a message to him that he then put in written form as he wrote to the Ephesians. Notice he says in Ephesians 3:4, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Friends, there was no hidden code in the original language of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. There was no special formulas that needed to be uncovered to determine and find the mystery of Christ. They simply needed to read Paul's inspired message that was recorded in the book of Ephesians as well as the other books that are written in the New Testament. You see, this idea of reading the Word carries with it an understanding that some who would be exposed to the Word could not read. There's a statement in Revelation 1 and verse 3, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things that are written in it, for the time is near." Many early church assemblies included a time when a reader would stand and read the scriptures aloud. And I believe we see that evident from Revelation 1 and verse 3. But both the listeners and the readers were then challenged to do what the verse says, keep the things, that is, obey what's been written. And it may be true that a person is a poor reader or even has poor eyesight or another physical disability that keeps him from reading. But yet, the point is clear. Take the Word of God into your mind through reading or listening and apply it to your life. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, Paul told Timothy, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." The New International Version, as well as the English Standard Version, they both translate this verse using public reading, meaning that Timothy was to publicly read the scriptures to the church regularly. So how is it that the successful stockbroker knows what stock to buy, and when to sell? Well, he studies the market. He looks at the data. He listens to the podcast. He immerses himself in the information. How is it that an extreme couponer knows how to buy certain foods at certain stores and clip and cut coupons to save thousands of dollars each year? Well, she pores over the papers, the store ads, and the online sale material. She spends hours just getting ready to go to the store. How does a successful doctor learn to treat patients with the latest test results? And he looks to research and journals that provide the most up-to-date material on the issue, doesn't he? And in a similar way, if you want to understand the Bible, you must, as 2 Timothy 2, verse 15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, in order to understand the Bible, we simply must read it. And so that's why I began our study in realizing that certainly one of the reasons that people do not understand the Bible is that they simply do not read it. But then another thing that causes many people to not understand the Bible is what I would call the flip and point method. You know, many of us have done it. We'll be lying in bed about ready to go to sleep, but we feel the need to have our daily dose of Bible. So we roll over, we grab a Bible off of the bedstand table, and we think about the Lord will somehow show us what he wants us to know by directing the Bible to just flip open to the proper page for us at this particular time in our lives. So we then flip the Bible open, drop a finger on the page, and we begin to read. What happens when we flip to Job 22:3, and we read Eliphaz's comments when he says, "Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that you are righteous? Or is it gain to him that you make your ways blameless?" Eliphaz goes on to accuse Job. He says, "Is not your wickedness great, and your iniquity without end? For you have taken pledges from your brother to no reason, and stripped the naked of their clothing. Well, what are we doing when we turn to Psalms 137, verse 9? And we read, "Happy shall he be who takes and dashes your little ones against a stone." Or the passage in Ecclesiastes 2, verses 17 and 18. "Therefore I hated life, because the work that was done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Then I hated all of my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me." You know, such an unsystematic approach to the Bible will fail to confuse even the most sincere. Imagine trying this flip and point method with the owner's manual to your new telephone or your new iPhone. You might be trying to turn the phone on, but you flip to the section that tells you about how to download pictures. See, this method would be ridiculous, would it not? To figure out how to change a tire from your car manual while you're stranded on the side of a road with a flat. Imagine a poor algebra student. He's practicing this flip method early in the semester, and he's flipping to the back of the book, and he's diving in, trying to grasp the concepts. Friends, in order to understand the Bible, we must make a dedicated effort to reading all of it in context in a systematic way. Of course, many passages in the Bible would be perfectly fine to read independently of the others and require very little context or understanding of the surrounding material. But if we continue a habit of flipping and pointing, it's going to eventually lead to misunderstanding, and it's going to lead to frustration. One other thing that causes people to misunderstand the Bible is they're unfamiliar with ancient customs and practices. You know, Moses penned the first five books of the Old Testament in the 1400s B.C. The last book of the New Testament was finished about A.D. 100. That means that in modern times, we're separated from even the latest parts of the Bible by almost 2,000 years. At times, the customs and the practices of the ancient world are unfamiliar to us, and they lead us to misunderstand what the text is trying to say. For instance, in Proverbs 20 and verse 11, "Diverse weights and diverse measures, they are both alike, an abomination to the Lord." The English Standard Version says, "unequal weights and unequal measures." Now, what is so bad about diverse or unequal measures? Why does God hate them? Well, in ancient times, merchants often bought and sold materials such as grain or gold or silver that needed to be weighed. Dishonest merchants would have two sets of weights. They would use one set for buying and one set for selling. So suppose a farmer brought his grain to the merchant and the broker agreed to buy 1 pound of grain. Well, the crooked buyer would reach into his buying weight bag and pull out the weight that's marked 1 pound, but the weight was actually slightly heavier than 1 pound. So the merchant is going to get more than a pound of grain for the price of a pound. When the merchant went to sell the grain, he would pull out his selling weight marked 1 pound. See, this weight would be less than a pound. So when he sold a pound, he was actually less than a pound. So this transaction of buying 1 pound and selling 1 pound would gain the corrupt businessman more gain than it would should have if he treated the weight equally. Two different weights were marked the same, but their weights were different. So see, knowing this ancient custom helps us to understand that the proverb writer is condemning corrupt, dishonest business practices. But our time is up, and we want to look at some other things that helps to cause sometimes misunderstanding and see if by recognizing them, it can help us to better understand God's Word. Thank you for listening. We hope that you tune in tomorrow. Till then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.